I had like three serious relationships in my 50 some odd years. And I got to tell you something, that is a tough thing to know how to break up.
Yeah, well, one of them, you died. And so you did not really break up. You.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like three times.
As far as I know, they've had sex four times and it resulted in four children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
My mother is a self-proclaimed sex expert and cougar.
And my son is a self-proclaimed stand-up comic and clown.
And together we host this podcast, Sex Talk with My Mom, where we get into all the things you're not supposed to talk about with your parents.
We break down those barriers.
We talk about sex. We talk about drugs. We talk about breakups.
And rock and roll.
In this episode, we talk to my good friend. He goes by the name Rocky Hardy in this episode. That's not his real name, so don't go Googling.
You'll find out why, though. And he's not a porn star.
But, you know, he called me about a month ago asking. He was going through a breakup, and he was asking if we had any episodes where we talked about breaking up. And I said, you know what? We don't have enough, so why don't you come on the show and give us one for yourself?
And I think this was such a great example of all the things that you should be paying attention to along the way in a relationship and what could happen if you try to look through the world or look at your relationship through rose-colored glasses.
I thought it was a great explanation of how to break up with someone to minimize suffering.
Oh, so we had a double whammy here.
So if you guys have any thoughts on this episode, leave us your thoughts in a review on the iTunes store, or you can email us at sextalkpodcast@gmail.com.
Wait, you're assuming people actually break up?
I think so.
They say that breaking up is hard to do. I like that version.
Okay, before we sign off here, I wanted to do the review of the week. We're so grateful for all of the awesome reviews that have been coming in, especially the ones that come in on both the iTunes store, but also some people feel inclined to call us to leave the review over voicemail.
I love it.
So this is from a very dear listener named Tanner. Let's let the audience hear it.
I just wanted to say that I love the podcast. One day when I was bored at work, I searched for Howard Stern on Apple Podcasts, and you guys came up and thought I would listen to it, and, well, I was not disappointed with what I found.
Oh.
You guys are absolutely hilarious. Me and my mom have a similar relationship, and it's kind of nice to know we're not the only dysfunctional, I guess, highly functional mother-son relationship. Keep up the amazing work, and have fun with it. I don't know what to say now. Bye.
What the hell was going on in that background? I don't know if he was taking a shit or what, but that was great.
It's a very sweet sentiment, regardless of what was going on while he was doing that.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but I got to tell you, first of all, it warmed the cockles of my heart, you know, when he said that he was searching for Howard Stern and we came up. That's awesome, because you know how I idolize Howard Stern.
I thought it was super. It was nice to hear that there are other mother sons out there.
That's what I'm saying. And he called it functional.
Functional relationships.
Yeah, he didn't say dysfunctional. That's always a plus.
That is always a plus. Well, with that, now I think it's time to allow our listeners to listen to the wonderful and wondrous Rocky Hardy.
I'm just a sweet transvestite. Transylvania. Hi.
Rocky Hardy, welcome to the show.
Okay.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
I mean, literally, you did not make that name up, did you?
No, that is the name of my first pet and my street name that I grew up on.
For our listeners, my dear friend is coming on the show to regale us with a bit of a story. And he wanted to go by an alias, so he went by his stripper name, which turns out to be Rocky Hardy.
Which is so unbelievable.
The street. That is what, like, what is it? The street name and the pet name?
It's the pets, that your first pet and the first street you grew up on. And his was Rocky Hardy.
Rock Hard.
Rock Hard.
Rock Hard,
which is like the most awesome porn name ever. I'm just so excited about it.
I'm just throbbing to be here. It's so exciting.
Can you take us through what happened?
Sure. So my girlfriend and I, ex-girlfriend, I should say, we had been dating for a year and a half, and things were very serious. We lived across the bay from each other, so that's like an hour commute. So it wasn't necessarily like the easiest relationship to.
Wait, hold on. I thought you were gay. What?
No.
Did you think he was gay?
I thought you told us a story before, and that somehow or another I got the impression that you were gay from the way you said my let.
I'm popular in the gay community. I get a lot of messages from.
That's how right.
Okay. All right. So you're not gay.
So Rocky Hardy is not gay.
Okay. No. We got that clarified.
Not gay,
okay,
but.
One thing. Let's start the whole discussion again.
Great.
Okay. So my ex-girlfriend and I, we'd been dating for a year and a half, and things were really serious. And things had escalated really quickly early on in our relationship. And she had been the one kind of escalating things, like telling me I love you first and having me meeting her parents first. And she told me at one point, like, I could be the one. And so I was very excited and optimistic about the relationship. I'd say maybe a year into it, at that point, she had decided that she was going to go to grad school, and she wasn't going to be going to grad school locally here in the Bay Area, but she'd be moving somewhere. And I even said to her, you know, in a way of trying to show my commitment to the relationship, like, I'd be willing to move with you. And so, you know, I think these are fairly normal things. I wasn't, you know, telling her like I was definitely going to move with her and that we were going to get married or whatever. But, you know, I was trying to show my commitment to the relationship. And then towards like the last 3 months of the relationship, there were a couple moments where she had these really kind of big emotional breakdowns where she told me that, you know, she wasn't sure she could do it. And what I interpreted that was like handle, you know, a long distance relationship. And
can I also get in here with a contextual question?
Sure.
How many relationships had you had prior to this?
Just one. That's a great question. Just one other serious relationship.
Thank you for the compliments about my questions.
In that instance, did you break up with her or vice versa? Was it mutual?
It's a very good question. I did break up with my first ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
And that kind of comes into play when I'm talking about kind of how I've been coping. So the few months she kind of had these meltdowns, and I kind of had to always like salvage the, it felt like I had to kind of like talk her off the ledge a little bit. Like she was getting nervous and worried and kind of like uncertain about things. But, we'd kind of like have this meltdown. I'd be like the strong logical one who tried to like reason her way out of it. And then we'd kind of move on from there and everything. We almost pretended like those conversations hadn't happened and kind of kept moving on, but they happened. Let's see, that was the first time, and then one more time. And then the third time, we went on a date, took her out to dinner. We had drinks, and then we were getting ready to go to sleep that night. She was at my apartment, and she told me that in 2 months when she left for grad school, she wanted to be leaving for grad school as a single woman. And that kind of...
I got shivers.
Yeah, and that kind of hit me...
Like a fucking lead balloon?
Exactly, like a train.
Out of nowhere.
It was out of nowhere because we had such a nice date and night, and it wasn't like, hey, we get together to sit down and have a talk, and it was just like a decision that she had dropped on me.
Was she drunk when she made that decision?
It's interesting. She had like a couple of drinks, and she definitely, we're at this like communal dining experience, and she had like happily accepted wine from this other couple, which she's not a big drinker. So I think that was a sign that she was trying to loosen up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. And that she did.
Yeah, totally. And what's crazy is that she was, there's a couple things that really like bothered me was that she was expecting us just to go to sleep that night, like sleep, you know, and just pretend like everything was good and dandy. Like we were getting ready for bed.
I'm brushing my teeth, washing my face. Oh, by the way, I'm going as a single woman.
Yeah.
So literally out of the freaking blue, you had no clue, completely blindsided.
We had those meltdowns that were maybe signs.
How did you respond when she dropped this little tidbit?
I think definitely similarly in that I was, again, trying to talk her out of it, you know, which isn't probably the best method, but I was in denial, you know, like, no, we can make this work. Mm-hmm. I offered some compromises and some solutions, you know, like, we can try to take a break. We can, you know, I essentially felt like I was giving her the best of both worlds in that I wasn't moving there with her and she was going to be there by herself for a number of months without me visiting anyways.
Hmm. What did she say the reason was, though, that she wanted to go as a single woman?
Well, this is where I wish I would have known this stuff sooner. But she had told me that before we had started dating, so we met on a dating app. And before we had started dating, she had told me that her plan all along was to go to grad school and, you know, have it be her own experience and be a single woman in grad school. But that once we had started dating, like, I had kind of been convincing her out of it, which, like, I would have loved to have known up front.
But she was so steadfast. Why was she on a dating app if she knew that she didn't want to be in any kind of relationship? I never understand that. But
no, I think a lot of a lot of people use dating apps for different reasons. Some people are looking just to hook up. Some people are looking for casual relationships.
Was this Tinder or was it eHarmony? You know,
no, it was in between. It was Bumble.
Yeah, that's Bumble. An in betweener right there.
I didn't think Bumble was an in betweener. I thought Bumble's kind of Tinder, but the girl decides.
No. You can go either way.
Yeah.
All right. So it's not a known quantity that you are just there to hook up. It's you could have a relationship or you could hook up.
Yeah, I think more people use it for relationships, but that could be just my prejudice.
All right, but whatever.
I mean,
reason,
a year
went
and a half,
Bumble.
Though, you think that she's not? She's going to stick to this fucking plan?
Well,
okay. What's her zodiac sign?
Oh my god.
Birthday's in early February.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, she's a little airy. She could be an Aquarius, or she could be a Capricorn. I'm not sure, but anyway, she made a decision.
Yeah, you know, and my barber, who's this like old Vietnamese man, told me when I got my hair cut around the Chinese New Year. He told me our zodiac signs do not align.
Wait, like, what is yours?
I was 89, so that's snake.
No, I'm talking about your real zodiac sign.
This guy was talking about the Chinese zodiac.
The Chinese zodiac
sign. I'm a Libra.
There you go. You're a Libra like me.
Oh, nice.
There we
I
go.
Knew we had,
there we had you go. Connection.
Yeah.
So she actually could have been a good fit for you because Aquarius and Libra do go well. But anyway.
Mm. Oh, my God. Right. Can we get back on target?
Very important to me. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so let's see. And so then, yeah, she told me this and I kind of, you know, was in denial, kind of like we talked that night, went to sleep, you know, could barely sleep. The next morning we woke up and.
First of all, I feel so bad for you. This is that must have blown.
Yeah, it did.
And then you find yourself doing such desperation, like, oh, I could, we can just do anything. I can, you know, you're begging and you shouldn't
grasping
have to beg.
Yeah.
So you were not in the stage of anger yet. You were stage of denial that this was actually happening.
100%. I did not get to the full blown anger, I think, till like a few days later. So we talked the next day, and try to make some kind of plans. And then she went off and she actually went off for the weekend with some girlfriends by her, like a little getaway weekend, which I thought would be good for her. She can get some, you know, input from her girlfriends. And then I kind of started talking, I had to work all weekend and I talked with a lot of my coworkers who were, as I was talking with them more and more, and I was talking with my mom, essentially all the women in my life.
Bitch.
Yeah. Right. They were all saying like, it doesn't sound like you don't deserve this. Like you, I think, you know, I was very rose tinted glasses through the relationship, like thinking everything was good and dandy. I think I just felt kind of betrayed and blindsided because a month earlier she had like brought her parents over to my house for Easter dinner. And,
oh my God.
Yeah. And like, you know, she had shown me a lot of signs that like things were going well. So like I talked with my coworkers all weekend long and met with my therapist and they were all saying like, this does not sound like a well-balanced, healthy emotional relationship. Like you, if this is any indicator of like what the relationship
the
will
future
be like,
could be like, yeah, is not rosy.
Exactly.
So let me just play devil's advocate here for a sec.
Go ahead.
So, because it's way more interesting for the podcast. So
And they're both air signs, so that is a good thing.
So what would have been a better approach for her to tell you that she wanted to go to college, to, back to grad school without you around?
That's a good question. I've thought about that. Like how would it, I essentially feel like I would have loved to have like a longer discussion of like, hey, I'm having second thoughts. Can we talk about this?
Right. Right.
As opposed to like, I've made this decision that's totally been in my head for weeks and weeks.
Yeah. Totally. It's, so I'm going to play back on your side now because
all right, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I clearly this was not just a brash decision she made impulsively.
Right.
It sounds like there was a lot of thought that went into this and a lot of thought that was not shared with you at all.
Right.
Or Rocky could have been in, you know, like a state of denial with little red flags. He might have just tried to ignore them.
I think sometimes
pretend they didn't exist in the first place.
What were those blowups about? Were they about your relationship with to each other?
So I think Karen Lee is onto something. Like there were some red flags with those kind of blowups in that she would kind of say things like, I don't know if I can do, I don't know if I can do this. And when she said, I don't know if I can do this, like I didn't like kind of pick it apart and dive into it in more detail, but I thought it was more like, I don't know if I can do like long distance. Like, and I kind of felt like I had to talk with her like, yeah, long distance isn't easy. You know, it's going to take some getting used to. I have a very flexible schedule and that I could like visit once a month, even like twice a month if needed. Like she was also just like really stressed about the amount of work that she'd have to do in grad school and thought that she wouldn't have enough time to give to me. And so I was essentially, I was like bending over like backwards towards her, trying to make it like, I'm going to make this as easy for us as possible. Like if anyone can do long distance, it's like me and my profession. And
yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I did long distance for 4 years. It is not easy and it could be very costly. And it's also stressful because either like the good thing is that when you get together, it's like very exciting, romantic. And the bad thing is that when you have to leave, it's very upsetting. And then you have to transition each time back and forth. It's a very difficult thing, even on the healthiest of relationships. But
exactly.
That doesn't seem to be what the issue is with her. I mean, unless she's just really like inflexible.
Yeah. And throughout the relationship, she wasn't really in a compromise on some of these like asks that I had for her. So I think you're onto something that she wasn't very flexible. She really was kind of stuck in some of her ideas and what she wanted in her life. And like, she wanted certain vacations always. She wanted to, you know, go to certain places. She wanted me to be able to like flex her way. And she wasn't flexing my way as much as I would have liked.
Mm. What was the attraction? She's really good looking or something?
Yeah. definitely. Well, she's not definitely my type typically. So that's why, I mean, this is again, going back to the beginning, I think I mentioned this, Cam, that I felt like I went into this not expecting a relationship, like, because she's not my type. I felt like she's like much more attractive than I am. And so I was like over the moon that this was like working out. And I think, again, I started to overlook a lot of things. And there were a couple red flags much earlier on that were more about our personality types. Mm. But we got along like super well, like humor, like socializing, interests.
So what,
how was the sex?
Sex was great. Like that was definitely, again, I think I told Cam that this was, it almost felt like in retrospect that it was a very serious friends with benefit. Like it felt like the physicality was like one of like the main parts of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a major attraction.
What were those
parts.
Things that, totally. That you guys did not overlap with?
So she was a few years younger. So a big part of it felt like a maturity gap.
Yeah.
And I can be like immature and silly. You know, I can be silly in a lot of ways, but, a lot of
what, like, silly I little goose.
Yeah. I try. but yeah, when I was describing her to other people and like what happened, like a lot of people just thought that she wasn't like at the emotional maturity that, you know, I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah.
And so like we would go out with her friends at night and like she would kind of, and I was, you know, I'm a pretty social person. I can fend for myself, but she would kind of leave me and like go kind of talk with her friends. And like, I'd have to fend for myself and she wouldn't introduce me to some of her friends, especially
garbage.
The guy friends. Yeah. It was a little bit, I was a little off-putting at the time.
There's a little red flag there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's so hard is that, can you tell us your ages?
Sure. I'm going to be 28 in 2 months and she's 25.
Yeah.
So you were dating her before she was 25. She was 24.
Yeah, she was 24.
So her brain wasn't formed yet. You have to be 25 before your brain is actually completely formed. So her brain was still in that, non-formed.
I think what's most important there is that I don't know if you feel comfortable with this, but had she had a lot of previous relationships or no?
Again, I think you're onto something. You guys are asking the right questions. So she had one serious relationship beforehand that was like 6 months, and she had broken it off. She would have broken it off sooner. So no, I was like her first really serious long-term relationship.
I reflect on my relationships, and I realize that with each one, I get better and better at choosing when we should be together, choosing how to break up, and actually going through the thing. I think it's something that you actually have to learn. It's not something inherently, it doesn't come natural.
Cam, that's very intuitive.
Thank you. And
I have had none of those. I had like three serious relationships in my 50 some odd years. And I got to tell you something, that is a tough thing to know how to break up.
Yeah, well, one of them, you died, and so you did not really break up.
One of them was a difficult breakup because I hadn't had a chance to say goodbye.
No choice.
But it is a wild – I often think of breakups as like a living death. It's the closest you get
definitely.
To actually losing someone. And to choose consciously to go through that mourning process and to cut someone from your life – or at least
right, and whether to do it with finality, like, are you still talking to her and texting, or is
a
cut off?
No, I did a complete cut off. I deleted from all social media because, like you said, like she's still living and she's still living her life, and I can see all of her photos and all the fun.
Yeah, you want to get rid of that too, by the way. You want to at least for the first couple months or so, block yourself from all stalking her on Facebook or wherever, Instagram.
Done.
You're done? Good.
Yeah, and she's part of one of the things she wouldn't compromise on. She's on a trip right now to Europe with a girlfriend for a month, and so she's she posts photos on her Instagram, though I don't like look at them, of her and like all the fun she's having.
Unfollow that shit.
Oh, I know. Don't worry, it's done. But so that was another thing. She was going on these vacations that she wasn't willing to like scale back a day or two to give us more time together because she was moving away.
Listen, it's clear that this girl is in a very, I'm not labeling her as a narcissist, but I'm saying she's in a narcissistic mode, and
totally.
it was pretty apparent from, what you're talking about, that she wasn't willing to do a lot to make this relationship a priority. It's more about what she wanted to do, and she has a right to be selfish in her 20s or whatever. So she just maybe wasn't ready for a relationship, and maybe she will in the future. Who knows?
Totally.
It's really fucking hard. And especially
if you're ready.
Yeah. Oi.
Yeah, it sucked.
Ugh.
But honestly, it's still to me such a great thing that it happened. And this is what I always look at the glass as three quarters full. You learn so much from this. You learn what you want and what you don't want. You learn what to look for in the next time. You learn, what your needs are more than, and how maybe next time you can change and put your needs first. Because not first, but at least on the same page as her.
And one need that you might need is emotional intelligence. I mean, when we talk about ability to break up, it's a component of emotional intelligence.
Right.
And it's really fucking hard to find with someone young who hasn't gone through a lot of relationships in their life.
Or at least find someone who is willing to go into counseling or something. I mean, I probably would have done that.
Gosh. It's so funny you say that. I recommended that. That's, and she was offended by the suggestion, which just blew my mind. I mean, there are a lot of details that
narcissistic like behavior.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like I mentioned that my ex-girlfriend, my first girlfriend, the reason why I felt like I never really went through the super sad phase of kind of mourning after this relationship was that the roles were reversed in my first breakup, and I suddenly broke up with my ex-girlfriend. So I kind of feel like, I kind of feel like this was the law of averages. This was a long time coming, and everyone goes,
oh my God,
karma's a bitch.
Karma's a bitch.
Your ex-girlfriend's going, now you see how it feels, dick.
Totally.
Wow.
Rocky Hardy.
Why did you suddenly break up with her? the previous one?
I mean, I want to say that it wasn't suddenly. I mean, it was suddenly, but I want to say that it wasn't so that there wasn't such a lead on, because I felt like my relationship, I was kind of led on a lot. But so she, my ex-girlfriend, had been escalating the relationship as well, and like wanting to move with me, and I had wanting to like, kind of change her life kind of plan around me. Like, you know, I wanted to move back to the Bay Area from Seattle, and she said she was looking into moving down there with me, and
it's
she
literally
wanted to move
the
in
same
together.
Thing.
Totally, like, very very similar.
It's weird how, like, when you, I mean, Cam said this when he was a little boy, he's like, you know, the whole thing is, it's about the chase. And then when you finally get to the person, you know, then what do you do? Because if then it's no chase anymore.
Right.
So it's weird that the girl that you, you know, that you really want is the one that's playing more. I don't mean playing, but, you know, is being more of a challenge.
I revise that, though, later in life.
You revise?
Yeah, because I think that at a certain point you realize that what you're looking for is not validation. I mean, that's why the chase is exciting, when you can actually, you know, enter a relationship and see that someone actually appreciates you. You feel validated. Mm-hmm. But and when you're a kid, you think that's, you know, the purpose of these relationships, because for all intents and purposes, you don't, you know, what are you getting out of a little fucking relationship when you're 12 years old? But when you're older, there's a lot more to get out of the relationship, and I think that it goes way well beyond the just simple validation from having, you know, maybe conquered someone's attention.
There's still this. I mean, that's why the whole pickup artist talks about nagging and all this other stuff. There's still these games that people tend to play when they're beginning relationships.
I think
it's just a weird back and forth. And then sometimes I remember when I was first dating. Sometimes I felt I had the power. Sometimes he had the power. It flip flops back and forth. You're never 100% sure. Because especially at the beginning of a relationship, it's all new and you don't really know what the other person's really like or really thinking.
Do you have any other details that of this story that you wanted to get out before I?
Well, how long ago was it that you broke up, by the way?
It was early May. So it's what, 2.5 months?
So how has these 2.5 months been? What has the trajectory been like?
So like I said, I was never kind of torn apart and super sad and depressed. I felt more of the feelings of, you know, betrayal, anger, like felt like I've kind of lost some trust. But you know, it's been surprisingly okay, because I think you mentioned, Karen Lee, there are a lot of positives that come out of a breakup. Like this, I think this probably would have crashed and burned way worse if we had done long distance.
A lot
of money, a lot of time, a lot of stress. Like I was not looking forward to it, but you know, I felt like it's maybe worth a try.
And also the trust that has to go into when you're apart from each other is really, that's a tough one, especially when your boyfriend at the time is working at a strip club. I digress. Go on.
So like the first few weeks were really tough. And I mean, I think you probably both know, it's just, you're reminded about your significant other everywhere you go, and you're used to
every song comes on the radio.
Oi.
Yeah, you're used to, like, you know, waking up and texting them or sending them funny photos or whatever.
It's almost like you get in such a habit that it's
breaking,
like,
all those habits.
Yeah,
the habit is worse than anything else.
Totally.
So, just one more question. When she came back from her trip with her friends, how did you guys meet up again to talk about how you were not going to get back together? What happened there?
Good question. I feel like we might have talked about this. I met with my therapist, what we talked about was kind of that this breakup, even though my ex was initiating it, that she didn't get to dictate how it goes down. And so I kind of...
That's right, Rocky.
Right? You know, I wanted to...
Rock hard there.
And so I wanted to, even though she started it, I wanted to finish it. So that sounds a little aggressive, But I essentially wrote down all my feelings into like this Google Doc, kind of edited it, and then kind of read over it for a number of, like, a couple of days and decided
Doc.
That, you know. I
can't believe you put in a Google Doc.
Just
that
in case
hilarious.
You needed to be easily shared.
Yes.
So I could use it, so I could write it at work. So when I was at work, I could use it.
Do you still have it right now? Can you read us a couple lines?
Ooh, I do have it, but.
I would love to hear just a couple of the salient points.
Ooh.
It'll be therapeutic.
Oh, yeah, I think it will be. But let me. What was the original question? Oh, yeah. So we met up. So she wanted to meet up to exchange some of our things and to kind of And what it felt like to me was like she wanted to have a more textbook, you know, Hollywood romantic goodbye. Like, well, either she wanted to go like, you know, it's mutual. We hug and kiss and say goodbye.
Have sex one more time.
Exactly. Well, she wanted to have sex many more times. She wanted to stay together till she left.
Whoa.
Which also felt so.
It felt like a little bit used in that
exactly.
sense.
Fuck that. Exactly.
Totally. That. So that's why.
Not really.
I met up with, you know, I didn't meet up with her. Excuse me. I called her on the phone, which doesn't sound great, but I think it's what I needed at the time because, like I mentioned, we lived across the bay from each other, and so
it's like, you know, an hour driving away from each
across,
other?
Yeah, like driving across town to some neutral territory just to have her finish breaking up with me didn't sound good for my needs, you
yeah.
know, because she's the one who's already started it, you know. So what I did was I read her this letter, and it's 2 pages long. It's not like a letter. It's just a bunch of thoughts that's kind of organized. And then she read me a little piece that she wrote, which is like a maybe one paragraph letter. You know,
was this decided before the call that this was there's going to be a little
exchange?
Yes, we decided
uncoupling, as Gwyneth Paltrow says.
Exactly. So we did decide that, but she thought it was going to be in person, and then after. I met with my therapist. I texted her. I was like, "Hey, you know, I don't want to drive across town to have you finish breaking up with me, so that I have to like mope back on the public transit back across town."
So you both knew you were going to break up at that meeting.
Well, they had already broken up. They were just going to meet again to re-break
up. He was
up.
Holding out hope, though, that she'd get her head straight with these girls and the girlfriend retreat.
Yeah, but I think so. It's interesting. After I read her this letter, she texted me afterwards and said that. Her heart was broken because she felt like I was the one who broke up with her.
Oh, fuck her.
Right, exactly.
The fuck?
Oh, my God. Now, I'm not saying she's a narcissist behavior anymore. Now I'm going out with she's a cold-blooded narcissist. What?
Jesus.
What?
I don't know. I think it's
what
just because...
switch?
Yeah, it's because she didn't like how I responded. She wanted me to either be groveling for her or you know, hoping to take me back or in mutual agreement. She's like, you know, yeah, I know this isn't working now. This isn't... The stars aren't aligned.
Very selfish and cruel.
Damn it.
Totally. And that's part of the reason why I haven't been sad is that she's been clearly very selfish and she's been very sheltered living here in the Bay Area for her whole life. And I think she kind of needs this to go away by herself. Like, again, like hindsight's 2020, but it's
still. Well, let's just think about yourself, though. You know, you're away from someone who is obviously very self-centered and doesn't really give a shit about your feelings. So that's good.
Devil's advocate again. How should she have responded to that? You know, to that text saying, you know, I'd rather just do this over the phone.
I think, given that she knows that I'm the one on the receiving end of this, that like she should be okay with, you know, however I want to do it, because like she's the one who's hurting me most of all. At least that's what
right.
it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
that didn't sound like she had any empathy for you whatsoever.
I agree.
No compassion for you.
Yeah.
It's all about her.
All right, back on your side.
Yeah.
Yes. We're keeping score.
Devil's advocate. Okay, so are you going to read us some of this?
I can read you some of it. Let's see. We didn't have a chance to actively work on any of the potential problems or reasons why I've no longer been in the category of could be the one. Relationships aren't static and supposed to be easy. They require work, and you didn't even show me or try to work together on building it. The work that you do is all in your head. You know, you tell me you want to communicate more and you want to work on not getting so worked up, you know, what you mentioned, these meltdowns. But I have no control over that stuff. And so it's me sitting back waiting for you to figure out things in your head when this should be a team process. I love you. And that's why I always try to be strong in a rock, but it isn't healthy for me to always be the one kind of holding up the relationship. And like you guys mentioned, I have to worry about my own feelings and shouldn't have to be your support always when you were the one breaking up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well written. And her response now is even more upsetting.
Right. I mean, she just felt like this was like a breakup letter of me breaking up with her. Even
right.
Though she started, yeah.
She didn't hear anything you said there, which is basically that you were so hurting. And you couldn't do it alone. And you know, you wrote it, and it's good. It's therapeutic for you to get it out. And so just take it as that.
So how did this – so you had the discussion over the phone, and then what?
And then she texted me afterwards, you know, saying that – I mean, I almost want to find it too. Almost that I broke her heart. How could
oh,
I?
Vey.
Yeah, find Find it. It's in your text.
Yeah.
You haven't read this like 25 times already.
Exactly.
I know you have.
Okay, so she said, "Your words had their desired effect. You ripped out my heart and stomped all over it. I know you're mad, but that was just cruel. My heart was already broken, but you've obliterated it."
Oh my God!
Yeah.
That was cool.
Jesus Christ.
That was cool. Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah. I'm
just happy right now, Rocky, that you are out of this Rocky relationship.
Dodge the bullet, Rocky.
Rocky, I think so too.
You've got to stay away from those kind of people in the future. I don't care how hot these girls are. Okay.
We got to wrap up this interview soon.
Yeah, sure.
This discussion soon. I think that the general questions that have been swirling around my head this whole time is, A, how do you break up with someone most empathetically to both you and the other person? Basically, how do you keep the relationship as well intact as possible? And two, do you have any words for the people who are going through breakups? Any words of advice?
Karen Lee, do you want to chime in with your answers? Because I feel like I'm...
Oh. Oh, wow. So the first question is, how should it be done most empathically? Well, what you shouldn't do is what she did, which is just get angry and lash out at the person who's just, you know, sharing their deepest feelings. And I think the most important thing is just to be empathic and be a good listener and let the other person know that you heard them. And I think that's all you wanted from her, is just for her to have heard and listened to you and been kind to you and said, you know, I'm so sorry, basically. I was got shivers all over for doing this to you. You know, obviously she had to do it. It was the right thing for her, but she could have done it in such a different way so that you would not be suffering like this. And that's what I would have thought could have been done differently. Would you have felt better if she just was, you know, an emotional, more of a caretaker for you at that point?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned earlier, like, what I was looking for was more of a runway of, like, leading up to the breakup.
Yeah.
Of, like, hey, like, I would have either, A, things were clearly not going well, and so, like, there were more telltale signs, or B, there was just an ongoing discussion of, like, hey, things are changing. And that's something else I wrote in my letter. It's like, early on I said to her, I want you to tell me if, you know, things are changing, because I don't want to get hurt and things are moving really quickly. And so I would have loved to have had, like, you know, some ongoing discussions, some sharing of feelings, less like in our head. But the way that, and then like the actual breakup conversation, I've never done it in a very, you know, tactful, empathic way, so I don't know if I can speak to that, but maybe Cam has some ideas.
Yeah, so I think this is actually where I think that is the key moment. So overall, I think you're totally right in that if she's having doubts about the relationship, I know it's like the scariest fucking thing to tell someone, hey, you know, I'm having these fucking feelings of and wondering if this is actually going to last that long, much longer. I mean, that's a fucking really scary and vulnerable thing to say to someone.
When those few arguments did occur where she melted down, she kind of was saying that. And then, yeah,
but
so she was
very,
giving him these
not
clues.
Not in a very emotionally stable way. So the ideal would be in an emotionally stable way to convey those feelings. Because otherwise you're sitting there wondering what's really going on here.
Yeah.
Maybe she was just having a temper tantrum. Maybe she didn't mean it. Maybe she was just drunk. Maybe she was just being dramatic. Maybe she's a young girl and immature. You know, a lot of thoughts probably can rationalize why she was doing it the way she did it.
Right.
And then I think that even if you're not, if you don't have the strength to do that, I think it's still important in the actual discussion to break up, to have empathy for the other person and know that this is going to be a very painful experience for them, and to sit with them in their feelings.
Yeah, that's what I was bothered by more than anything the last two episodes.
Here's
the breakup and then the opening of the wound again.
Brutal.
And then her slam back at you again.
Here's what I'll say. So the last two breakups I've gone through, one of them was like she brought it about. It was kind of mutual. She was like, listen, if it's not going to work in the long term, maybe it's just best if we can just cut it off. And we basically had, like, we had spent the whole day together prior to this discussion. And basically, we were kind of, like, at odds with each other, kind of fighting throughout the day. And then we had that discussion. And then she left. And it was 10 minutes of us together. I felt horrible. I was crying a little bit. She didn't seem to be emotionally affected. And then she left.
She was not distraught at all.
Zero distraught. So then I spent 2 weeks in mourning, and I didn't know how she felt and if she ever cared about me. And it made me a lot. There was a lot of insecurity and doubt there. I also think for me, it was very tied up with the loss of my father, because it was the first mourning or grieving I've had since, you know, his death. And then the second breakup, I brought about, and it was also extremely painful. But we broke up at lunch, and then we spent the next like entire 24 hours together, and it was very much we were crying with each other. I was crying mainly, but because it was together, yeah. Again, what the hell? But she was also upset. So but because we were doing the mourning together, I think my grief lasted way shorter, because I knew I was able to get clear on a lot of the feelings. I think the uncertainty of not when you're not with the other person to discuss it is just brutal. So I think, you know, if it's possible, maintain that open communication even through the breakup. I don't think the conversation should end.
It's certainly mature of both of you guys to be able to do that. I, on the other hand, could never do that. I think I'd go with the cold. Let's break up. Let's deal with this.
I don't know.
I really believe that there are so many signs along the way that are leading towards the breakup, that eventually when you finally do break up, it's not any big surprise to either one.
Right. It's like a dance. Remember, it's the dance that you kind of know both can feel when it's about to end. Right. It's usually dances don't one person stop dancing and the other person keeps going.
But it is interesting that you said this is more of like a friends of benefits with sex involved, you know, or, you know, it was a very sexual thing for both of you guys. Yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes if that's all you have is this great sexual chemistry, it's not enough to hold up a relationship.
Totally. Like, I feel like it was some of the depth wasn't there, but I didn't think about it at the time because, you know, I was so blinded by the physicality of it.
Right. But you're now going to get like a ton of messages because of this podcast.
Oh. Because you're going by Rocky Hardy.
Yeah, everybody's going to want not only Rocky Hardy, who apparently was good and bad enough to keep this girl for over a year and a half, but has a sensitivity element too that is essential when women are looking for good partners. So, you know, you got it all. So if anybody wants to reach Rocky, just let us know. It's sextalkwithmymom.com.
Sextalkwithmom@gmail.com.
I still don't get that right.
I think one of the big takeaways for me is that, and Karen Lee, you'll be excited to hear this, that I think I have to start looking, instead of younger, I have to start looking older for more mature women.
Mm. Oh, absolutely, because you're very mature and you're very confident. And you definitely, now you got this under your belt, you go for a cougar.
I'll try. The question is where to find them.
Any final...
Oh, go to my website, KarenLeePoter.com. Download the video, How to Catch a Cougar. You'll find it.
Jesus Christ. Do you have any final...
You helped me with that one.
I did. Any final thoughts for people going through breakups to keep them going? Or, I mean, not going, but...
I mean, what would you have done differently had you, in hindsight, knew what you know now?
I mean, I think I would have, instead of having these kind of conversations... you know, these like big fights and meltdowns and then like moving on, I would have like the next few days afterwards kind of revisited them and kind of hashed them out. Cause like you mentioned, they were definitely very emotionally charged and weren't rational, where we were both sitting down and having an open, honest discussion. It was a one way street of support. It felt like, you know, I was more supporting the feelings instead of the actual content of the messages. But, I mean, I'd say, It sucks to say, but like the only thing that's been helping me is really time, time and like trying to distract myself. And it's not, and I thought I would be trying to distract myself by like going on lots of dates and like meeting women, like hooking up. But like, I think now I've gotten to the, you know, maturity in my life where like that doesn't appeal to me as much. So it's really been just filling my time with work and with my family, you know, with my family and my my friends, and just trying to, and actually just trying to like get in touch with myself a lot more.
And the Sex Talk with My Mom podcast.
Oh, the Sex Talk with My Mom podcast and a good Sons of Anarchy.
Oh yeah, good.
Get into a good Netflix series, and you won't remember anything. Just you watch Breaking Bad, whatever you haven't seen, just go for it.
Totally.
I bring that up because you said you were taking that trip to get over your ex girlfriend. Mm-hmm. That's where you started really binging Sex Talk with My Mom.
Yeah, I listened to like 4 or 5 episodes. I drove for like 1,600 miles.
That is so awesome.
And you binge listen to Sex Talk with My Mom? That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. Oh, yeah. Yay. I hope you gave us a good rating and review after that.
Oh, yeah. I think I already have.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Rocky. Well, thank you so much for sharing this story.
Yeah. Of course. Jeez, thank you for letting me be vulnerable with you guys.
Oh, my God. You were so honest and open, and you helped us, I think.
I think you helped a lot of listeners, especially I just want to – that one point about – even choosing to not go to see her to get broken up with, I think that's a great point.
Very bold.
To say, no, I demand. And that's like the final, you know?
You grabbed a hold of your cojones and you went with it. I like it.
Totally.
Very empowering for you. And it's about freaking time. Good.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys very much for having me. I appreciate it. This is really helpful.
We expect to be invited to your wedding, by the way.
Of course.
All right. Take care, Rocky. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Rocky.
See ya. For all of our listeners, if you enjoy this episode, please leave us a rating and a review on the iTunes store. And feel free to send us your thoughts at sextalkpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear how you recommend going through a breakup or your experience with breaking up. Mother?
I just got to sing. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the... From now on, we're going to stay away from narcissist girls.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.